Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, by Paris Jones, who will be one of our featured guests here tonight on Nothing to Lose. Here we are, another Friday night with Nothing to Lose. Man, oh man, we will be bringing him up soon, and we will also have on Ryan Snowman, who is he's hosting this big reading coming up here a week from now up in Seattle. And so, yeah, well, we'll have Paris Jones here on. He is a rap artist, as well as a producer from Los Angeles, and he'll be talking about, he has a very, very ambitious things going on. And, you know, not only that, the music video for that song that we just played is just, it's beautiful. And, yeah, so he'll be talking about his ambitious, very ambitious thing. He's releasing an EP once a month for the entire year of 2014, and I can't wait to pick his brain regarding how that's going to unfold. But in the meantime here, I want to bring on my co-host. My co-host here, Mr. Michael D. Gostinski and Mr. Brian Big Daddy Sturdivant. Boys.
What up?
Welcome, welcome. All right, yeah, here we are. Wow. Another Friday night. It's yeah, we've had reruns going for the last couple weeks here, and yeah, it's nice to be back on live again and to hear your voices. A lot of shit's been happening, I understand. Northern California there, the Humboldt County, Mr. Brian Big Daddy Sturdivant, you know, mayor of Humboldt County there, there was an earthquake, one of them big shakers there in that area.
Yeah, they said it measured like a 6.9, but it didn't feel like it.
Did you find it stimulating at all? I mean.
Oh, it was fun.
It was fun. So what exactly were you doing when that occurred?
I was making a milkshake.
Bullshit. I call bullshit. Seriously, come on. Really?
No, I was making a milkshake and I almost fucking spilt it.
All right. When you make a lot of milkshakes, do you? And exactly what are the ingredients in your milkshake?
It was actually a protein shake. I've been trying to lose some weight.
Okay, so you're one of them health nuts now, huh? Perfect. Yeah.
Not necessarily. Just trying to.
Not necessarily. Well, you know, I mean.
So, how long did the whole earthquake last? Seconds?
Yeah.
Like,
how long was
seconds?
It?
This one was pretty long. They said it was 25 to 30 seconds.
Well, how long did you feel it?
It was.
How long?
It shook pretty hard for a minute, and then it was like rolling. I could like feel my floor going up and down. It was pretty crazy.
Right? Huh.
Wow.
See, I haven't experienced that in years since I used to live out. I mean, last earthquake I experienced was when I used to live out west there, you know, in San Francisco, in San Jose. So, I was pretty excited when I saw it. I was like, oh, shit, yeah. Earthquake there in Northern California, Eureka. Eureka, Humboldt County. So.
Yeah, there was supposedly around, like, 20 earthquakes that night.
Really? And only one talked about.
That was the one that everybody felt.
That registered and that CNN and all the other social medias and stuff sort of picked up on. Wow. All right.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. I missed that. I mean, we get tornadoes here in Ohio and good stuff like that.
Ohio.
Yeah, I would definitely rather deal with earthquakes.
Yeah, me too. I would too. Tornadoes are kind of scary. scarier than earthquakes, I think. Honestly, I really do. Mr. Gostinski, man, it seems like it's been forever since I've heard your voice. And
couple of weeks.
Yeah, I know. Lord, man, good to hear from you. And what's the latest there in New York?
same old bullshit. Nothing new.
Same old bullshit.
Boring old New York.
Oh, come on. Well, you live in the sticks. I understand that.
Yeah,
I mean,
well,
but
it's they're starting. People are starting to surface, so I'm sure there'll be some excitement coming up here soon. So
yeah, it's spring finally. Thank God. I don't know if that means anything up in your area, but
it means allergies. It means allergies. Lots of allergies. That's it.
Right. All right. Well,
nothing really exciting. I mean, the most exciting thing that's happened in the last couple of weeks is that, you know, the new husky dog got attacked by a pit bull.
Really? I didn't know. Oh, that's right. You have the husky, the husky dog. And so, that's just an adventure in itself, having a dog.
Well, it was, I got to say, my heart jumped up a little bit, you know, I got my blood pumping, but I was able to rip the pit bull off of him, and after several boots to the head of the pit bull went the other way. So,
really?
I had to get physical with the damn
pit bull
dog.
Just, like, loose? Just loose?
There's this corner house two blocks up, and there's three kids that are always playing outside, and they let the dog out, and they're normal kids. So, and the dog got out, jumped on my dog. So, you know, I had to beat off a pit bull. But other than that,
you had to beat him off.
Beating off a pit bull. Ding, 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 ding. There we go.
I'm going to name my next poem that, Beating Off a Pit Bull.
There you go. That's the title of my next chapbook, right there. Beating Off a Pit Bull.
My next column, Beating Off a Pit Bull. But other than that, boring. Nothing new in the sticks.
Boring. Well, you know, I'm a little worried about this whole, you know, Russia annexing Crimea. You know, who the hell knew what Crimea was before all this started, you know? But here we go. We're, like, right in the midst of, like, entering the Cold War again with Russia.
Again.
I mean, it's like, Lord, here we go. It's like, 1950s all over again or something, you know, in the 60s. You know, I guess we're going to have a Cuban Missile Crisis again here soon. It was just, what will we call it? Ukraine Missile Crisis? I don't know.
Yeah, something.
Are you guys not just a little concerned about this? I mean, what do you think? I mean, I'm not big into politics and stuff like that, but this is, I don't know, it worries me more than, like, you know, the Afghan war or, you know, the Iraq war. I don't know, it's pretty big, Russia.
I haven't really paid much attention to it.
Russia definitely has an army and has some firepower and all that, but I don't think it'll get to, like, all-out war, you know, let's be realistic here.
Both sides
are going to go back and forth, puff out their chests, and, you know.
Right. Well, exactly, the puffing up of the chest and the beating of the chest and, the, you know, the war drums and all that shit. And the United States, always, the first thing we always do is, like, we will impart sanctions upon you. There will be sanctions.
The U.S. needs to stay out of other people's fucking business is the fucking thing.
Hey, you know what? We need to use those billions and billions of dollars on war instead of trying to do things around in our own country. You know, it makes fucking sense, doesn't it?
I just think that weed needs to be legalized throughout the entire country so everyone's just a little bit more mellow and, you know, we ain't so willing to just go out and, like, fucking attack other countries and shit. That's what I'm thinking. So,
I don't know. We could use that money elsewhere, man, instead of billions on, you know, I'm going over there and
pumping out
our fucking chests.
I concur. You know, it's like, you know, we're at this point, you know, Reagan warned Gorbachev, you know, tear down that wall, you know.
The thing in his head?
Reagan, it's back in, like, 1989, he's like, Gorbachev, tear down that wall. And, you know, now we got, we got this guy. What's his name? Who's the president now? Oh, yeah. Barack Obama, you know? And he's all like, okay, guys, I think we just need to just, yeah. We'll no longer, we'll impose sanctions. And, you know, who even knows what these sanctions are? So, so he's like,
they'll send in some drones, do some drone strikes.
Some drones. Well, yeah, I've already heard like some drones get pulled down and all that.
Yeah, yeah. That's a, but that's all you see on the news. That's all you see. You see the fucking Russia thing, and then how about this fucking plane? I'm so tired of hearing about this fucking plane. Have you
what
heard
plane?
Of the missing plane?
Oh, the missing plane. Yes, the Malaysian plane. Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's gonna be like the new like mystery for decades now.
Oh, I've seen it on Craigslist for sale.
On Craigslist, huh?
There you go.
I don't doubt it. I don't doubt it. I hope there's like some girls in there too who are professional cuddlers too. So
hourly discount. Discount rate. Cuddlers on a plane.
With Samuel L. Jackson.
Oh, well, yeah. Wow. That'd be really hot. I'd like for him to watch and be like a cuckold while I cuddled. Yeah. on a Malaysian plane.
Yeah.
Right. So, hey, yeah, you know what? And and one last thing here before we bring on some of our guests here tonight. I got to mention, I've been euphoric here because, you know,
yeah,
the whole March Madness basketball NCAA tournament is going on. I normally don't give a shit about basketball. You know, the NCAA tournament, though, is kind of exciting because the games mean something. My home team here, UD, literally right around the corner from my house, UD, and I wear a UD hat all the time, pretty much. Most people who know me or have met me have seen me wearing my UD hat. They upset the Ohio State Buckeyes last night. By 1 point. Last 3.5 seconds. And gosh darn it, I'm super excited about it. I don't know how much you guys follow that crap. But I'm still kind of high from that, believe it or not.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome, man. Well, that's probably the best thing about the March Madness is teams I've never heard of win. You know, so
uh-huh.
I don't know. I just fucking catch the headlines. I hate the last 2 minutes of college basketball take like 40 minutes to complete.
I know that because they foul on purpose.
It's fucking insane.
On purpose. I fucking hate it too. It's like, all right, yeah, I'm going to elbow you or some shit. Yeah, or I'm going to.
It's like watching fucking curling.
No, I can't do curling.
Dull. Oh, my God.
I mean, you know, I can't even, I can barely even sweep my own floor with a broom and shit. So, you know, I'm going to watch some, like, Canadian assholes with brooms sweeping in front of a fucking puck.
But, I mean, how do people get so into the college basketball thing? But I'm telling you, that last 2 minutes of a college basketball game is hell. I don't know how anybody can watch it.
I don't know either. I don't know. Gosh darn it. Canadians, tear down that ice rink.
Big news around here, actually. The big news in New York right now is it's football related. The New York Jets have cut Mark Sanchez.
They
signed Michael Vick. So that's all we keep hearing all over the New York news. Dirty Sanchez is gone.
Yeah, he's gone. He'll end up in, you know, with some shit team, probably like the Jacksonville Jaguars.
He'll be the starter for the Raiders.
Yeah, but, you know, Michael Vick, I still think he has a little bit left in there. He might be, you know, I think he's going to be better than the rookie they had last season, too. Geno Smith.
Anything's better than Sanchez and Tebow. So,
right. Oh, Tebow. I don't know. I really like Tim Tebow. I mean, you know, the whole Tebowing and all that good stuff. I mean, that was beautiful.
He was winning with the Broncos, man. He was winning games. May have been ugly, but he probably could have done better against the Seahawks.
Yeah, I know. I think it's because he had a good supporting cast there in Denver.
Yeah.
All right, we are going to bring on
We're going to bring on Mr. Ryan Snellman here. And he's going to be, he's a poet, and he is the host of this big event coming up next weekend, next Saturday, March 29th, a rainy day in Seattle, and it's going to be raining poets, as far as I know. And so we're going to bring him on and let him yap it up with us regarding this whole event, and we'll go from there. All right, here we go. Mr. Ryan Snellman, you are on live. Ryan?
Well, howdy-do.
What up, Ryan?
Well, howdy-do. Welcome. Welcome, Mr. Snellman.
Wow.
Go Seahawks.
So tell us about this rainy day in Seattle. You know, you've got some big names there as far as, you know, the poetry scene and stuff goes. Bill Gaynor, Zarina Zabrinsky, you know, Steve Goldberg, Jason Hartung. Yeah.
Well, I think it all started last, probably like October, November, where I got to the point where I got tired of getting on airplanes and going to see these people. So I said, the hell with it. You know, I want to bring some of these people here, you know.
Yeah.
And looked around and, you know, found this market and found that I could, you know, get used to the space for a couple hours on a Saturday afternoon and said, what the hell?
Uh-huh.
And, you know, so I reached out and said, okay, who wants to come? You know, it was good timing for, like, Zarina and Bill Gaynor and Steve and Hartung, and, you know, they all said, okay, we'll get on airplanes and come visit. And so it's going to be about 10 featured readers, and once, you know, hopefully after all that, you know, we're going to try and have a little bit of a time at the end for an open mic before they kick us out.
Before they kick you out? I think I'm not there because I'd enter the place up really quick and get everybody kicked out, but yeah.
Oh, well, yeah, if you were there, you'd be a final act if you were there, just to empty the building.
I'm good at that. But, yeah, so, I mean, all right, so you've got, I mean, all these really cool artists coming in there. I mean, what inspired this? I mean, what inspired you initially, just, you know, as far as poetry and all that and being, you know, into the art? Because obviously you are. I mean, you travel all over. You do. You go to a lot of, you know, a lot of events and stuff like that. And now here you are hosting, you know, an event here live in Seattle next weekend. And, I mean, what initially inspired you to even, like, try something like this?
It's one of those things I've kind of had the back of my mind for a few years. It's like, you know, I wander around and go to these things. It's
right.
It's been percolating and put my own stamp on something. You know, once it's all said and done, it's one of those things that I can look at and say, look, you know, I did that. And I got, you know, it's, you know, we're going to have somebody come video the whole affair and, you know, put it up on YouTube and all that. So,
excellent.
You know, we'll have a record of the debauchery.
You know,
that's important.
Yeah.
I like the sound of that. A record of the debauchery.
And besides wandering around the country and, you know, attending events, I wanted to put my own little stamp on the world to say, you know, I did something more just once. You know, it's reached for something a little bigger than myself, just at least once in my life.
Something a little bigger than yourself. Speaking of which, you know, you have this notorious image of being, you know, this one poet reader. You get up to the mic, you just saunter up there, read one poem, and you just walk away.
Of course. You know, it's like I have an image to maintain, you know? It's
right.
And, you know, it's, you know, and, it, you know, it's, this whole affair aims at, if nothing else, adding to that image of, you know, who the hell is that guy?
Right. So, all right. So I guess from what I understand, the master of ceremonies is going to be Mr. Steve Goldberg, who is from Ohio, actually, right? Cleveland, Ohio. Wow. Yeah, that's excellent.
You know, I've roped him into, you know, emceeing the whole affair and being the point person for all the shindiggery, at least while it's going on. You know, because heaven forbid I'm up on stage for more than one poem. even at my own event.
Right. And even I have to ask you just even more so, you know, beyond just hosting an event or just traveling around the country, going to events and reading, what inspired you to be a poet, you know, and a writer in the first place? I mean, what was your initial inspiration, if you don't mind me asking? Some people are sensitive about it, I know. But.
Well, it's, I don't know if I've always had that itch to, you know, every itch to kind of put things down, you know, any the whatever issues I'm dealing with, it's just, you know, words have always been my outlet.
Yeah.
You know, ever since
your
a very young age.
Uh-huh.
It's
like how young?
It's even probably when I was, you know, 8 or 9 years old, you know, I was writing stories, and you know, it was a way to deal with whatever. It was a way to deal with whatever was going on. It was a way to, you know, express things that, you know, that, you know, like, you know, I'm not somebody that made friends easily or talked to people easily or had a
okay.
quote, normal way of dealing with them. So, you know, it was always a lot easier to, you know, go sit in the, you know, corner of your room and, you know, write stories or write poems, grow up and read Kerouac and say.
Oh, okay. So that's what I was going to ask you next. What were some of your early inspirations as far as, like, writers or whatever or whatnot? Who did you first read that, like, struck a chord with you?
Well, as I was growing up, you know, like, there's always, you know, the Kerouac and Burroughs and all that, but kind of digging deeper than, like, you know, like, somebody like Saroyan, you know, that, you know, he doesn't get much mention today, but he was one of those guys that, you know, really influenced guys like Kerouac. So if you go back another generation, there was guys like Saroyan that, you know, what Kerouac may have been writing about in the 50s, he was writing about in the 20s. So there's a lot of the same ideas that have always been there. These are these kind of eternal ideas that, you know, we're all this great suffering human race, no matter when we live.
All right. And so when you were younger, I mean, you felt a connection to them and to what they were saying or conveying? Because I have to admit, I think my earliest influences were actually, you know, comic books and William S. Burroughs. his writing was just surreal and just explains a lot.
Yeah. Well, that too. I mean, even at a very young age, I mean, it's, you know, when I was 8 years old, I was reading, you know, Spider-Man, you know, and,
right.
You know, it's that's kind of, you know, that's one of the identities was kind of the whole, you know, how you deal with yourself as you're trying to go through life. You know, it's,
yeah. Oh, yeah, Peter Parker, yeah. Is that what you're referring to, Peter Parker? You know, teenage misfit, yes. That's very poetic of you.
Well, of course.
I can relate to that. All right. Hey, so we have another caller in here. We will bring this caller on, and
maybe they can add to this and pick your brain a little bit about this whole rainy day in Seattle. Yeah, well, what inspired that whole name? Just because Seattle's infamous for, you know, its raininess, or what? What inspired that?
Well,
that whole name?
It's, you know, it's just a play on the, you know, Seattle, the image of Seattle that, you know, it's Seattle. It has to rain, so why not a rainy day of poets? You know,
we can
rain words on the world.
Are you a Seattle Seahawks fan?
But you know, it's you know, I've always been more of a baseball fan than a football fan.
Right, I'm well aware of that.
Baseball.
What do you think, Russ Wilson? He plays baseball too. For the Texans?
He went down and played around in spring training for the Rangers. They picked him up. They picked him up on waivers from the Rockies.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Excellent.
So,
I heard that Tracy McGrady is playing baseball now too. The old ENAC or whatever. And basketball player. You hear that one, Snow?
Well, yeah. I mean, well, if I was a football player, why the hell not? Or if I, you know, what else would you do? I mean, you've already gone to Disneyland.
That's right. What the hell can I do next? I've already won the Super Bowl after like two seasons, and yeah. Well, what do you do after you win the Super Bowl? You go to Disneyland or Disney World. So
yeah.
So we're gonna bring on this caller. We have a caller. We'll bring this caller on and see what they have to say here. Hello, caller. You are live. You're on.
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah. Yeah, this is a call. This is Leif Erickson.
Uh-huh.
I was wondering what you thought about it. You know? Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, is this Leif Erickson? I want to talk to you about everything. I want to talk to you about everything. Everything you were talking about, I want to talk to you about. And like three things that you didn't mention yet, I want to talk about that too. Like stuff that you might mention later, I want to talk about. Because like you, on your show, you have a guest. Oh. And he's going to have, are you poetry? Oh.
Usually.
Yeah, you write, did you ever, have you ever been in a dragon ship?
Long, long, long time ago.
Yeah, well, we plundered, one time we plundered northern Germany and we took all their women. And everything else. Then we went to Greenland and all that. And everything.
Well, it's a nice. There is a nice statue of you down here in Ballard.
Ballard?
Uh-huh.
Where's Ballard?
Well, it's where all the Norwegians landed.
Did you hear that Subway has, like, a chemical in their bread that they put in yoga mats? You know?
Chemical?
Yeah, there's
chemicals
a $5 there.
Hey, Leif, how are your sons doing?
No, there's some kind of chemical that they put in bread at Subway, and they said, oh, we make yoga mats out of this, too.
Yoga mat bread, yes. I've consumed that
yeah.
more than I would like to admit.
Sounds good to me.
But,
But
yeah, you know, maybe we can stay on subject here and talk a little bit more about, you know, the rainy day in Seattle here, or the Seattle Mariners, or even something like that.
Yeah.
Either that, or we need to...
right there on Seattle.
Or either that, or we can just puff the magic dragon. We're going to take a quick puff the magic dragon break.
Puff the magic dragon.
We'll be right back.
The magic dragon lived by the sea and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called Honolulu. Little Jackie Paper loved that rascal Puff and brought him strings and sealing wax and other fancy stuff. Oh, Puff the magic dragon by the sea and frolic in the autumn mist in a land called Honolulu. Puff the magic dragon lived by the sea and frolic in the autumn mist in a land called Honolulu. Together they would travel on a boat with billowed sail. Jackie the lookout perched on Puff's gigantic tail. Noble kings and princes would bow whenever they came. Pirate ships would lower their flags when Puff roared out his name. Oh, Puff the magic dragon lived by the sea and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called
have our dragon puffed. So yeah, interpret that the way you might like, and yeah, let's move on here with Mr. Ryan Snellman and talk a little bit more about rainy day in Seattle and what you expect here with this show coming up next weekend. I mean, how much preparation have you put into this, Mr. Ryan Snellman? How long has this been in the works?
Well, I think I started toying with it sometime in November, you know, so I've been playing around with it since then and just kind of like, it hasn't seemed like a lot of work, but I'm sure if I'm sure if I added up all the bits and pieces, I'd be like, oh, God, what the hell have I gotten myself into? You know, because it's one of those things where it just kind of happens.
Right.
And it was like, you know, I sent out the first few emails, and it was like, you know, like Bill Gaynor and Serena and, you know, Simon and Jason and Steve said they'd come. And so it's like, okay, just kind of snowballed from there.
Yeah.
And then I was looking around for a space, and I found this great, you know, this great theater space in the Pike Place Market that, during the evenings all week, they do a lot of, like, improv and comedy and all that. So
that's cool.
The mood of the space is really great for poetry. I mean, it's, you know, and it's like, you know, it seats, you know, it's a theater that, you know, it seats maybe 200 people. So it's,
wow. How many are you expecting?
Everybody showed up to read, and then myself, there's going to be at least 11 people.
Big hopes.
No. I mean, how is, like, I, sorry, that was funny. I mean, like, what do you expect? How much promotion have you done there locally? Have you put out flyers or anything like that? Or
Locally, it's been put up on, like, a lot of online event calendars around the area, and, like, there's the, there's things like the Stranger, which is, like, the local weekly paper. It's, you know, part of their literary calendar and things like that.
Oh, wait a second. I have to, pardon me for interjecting. You have a local paper called The Stranger?
Mm-hmm.
Is that anyhow based on Albert Camus and that book, The Stranger? I mean, that's creepy in itself. The Stranger, there we go.
Yeah. I doubt that it has anything to do with Camus, but if you read the snarky comments and reviews that everybody gives that works for The Stranger, you wouldn't be surprised if they grew up reading Camus. It's like, you know, it's, you're three, here's your first book, you know, The Stranger.
Right.
Or, you know, it's...
Right. And does it have, like, you know, in the back of this paper, it's like a newspaper, correct, I assume?
Yeah, it's your standard weekly tabloid
weekly
paper,
kind of,
you know. It's,
okay, all right,
and,
cool. So does it have, like, the advertisements in the back where it's, like, you know, free massage, blah, blah, blah.
That's how they pay for themselves. The back third of the paper is, you know, the free massage ads, you know, or, you know, the 1-800 numbers, or...
Yeah, right. Escort, quotation mark, yeah. Have you ever...
Call Sally for a good time, you know, it's...
Have you ever called one of those, or have you ever...
No comment.
No comment.
Nellie's not in the Seattle area.
Not in the Seattle area, huh? Wow, okay. Why, because they just, not enough, like, you know, cute, like, Malaysian girls there in Seattle, or what? Malaysia. Speaking of Malaysia, what do you think of this whole, like, plane thing? Where do you think that plane is, that Malaysian plane that's been missing?
Oh, let's see. I think it's back in the dinosaurs with that episode of The Twilight Zone with Captain Kirk, you know. Terror at 30,000 feet, you know. It's, you know, like a month from now, it'll show back up on the radar, and everybody's going to be frightened to death because, you know, they've spent, like, their four-hour flight looking at freaking dinosaurs.
Wait a second. No. The William Shatner episode of The Twilight Zone. There was no dinosaurs.
Oh, no.
Like, creepy-looking, like, Bigfoot.
Oh, yeah. I'm imagining my Twilight episode now, yeah. Yeah, it was... his was the freaking gremlin on the wing.
Right,
you
right.
Know,
it's nothing like the gremlins that we are accustomed to. Look more like a Bigfoot.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
There was that episode where the flight went back in time.
Oh,
from dinosaur age.
Oh, excuse. Sorry. I lost that. So how did you get this whole, like, Nordic, like, Viking moniker? I mean, where did that come from?
Oh, it came from some of you poetry folk. It was either you or, one L Michelle. It's like just one day. It's like, it's after one of these events, somebody said, the Viking, and it stuck. It's like,
wow. And did you feel hardcore like that when you were on stage? And what's it like for you when you go out and perform live? What's it like for you when you read your poetry live in front of an audience? And what's it going to be like for you this upcoming weekend on March 29th?
Well, actually, coming up, I have yet to decide what or if anything I'm going to read, but of course, if I read something, it's still going to be the one poem wonder. You can't break that curse.
Right.
But actually, I think if I read something this weekend or this next weekend, what it'll be is one of the poems that you picked out for Zygote. It was actually a poem I first read in Kansas City back in 2009, which is what started me on this whole, going to poetry things. Because I went to Kansas City for the second of their big events they had there.
I remember hearing about it. I remember the big Kansas City event. Yeah. You were there, huh? So, okay. Is that how you got connected with a lot of other people?
That's where I met a lot of these people in person. I met Goldberg there. I met Jacob Johansson and John Dorsey. Picked me up at the airport. That's kind of where I, at least in person, got to meet a lot of the crowd.
Yeah.
And it was like also.
Right.
Actually, one of the cool things too was I got to hang out with Scott Wahnberg.
Oh, Scott Wahnberg, yes, he was great. I never got to meet him. That's one of the few people I have not met. I didn't have the opportunity to meet him before he passed away. That's really cool.
And it was great. I mean, he's like, they had the Sunday afternoon, picnic out in the park, and he was just going around all afternoon, just on scraps of paper, writing poems for everybody. I think everybody that day there left a scrap of paper with a Scott Wahnberg poem on it somewhere.
Huh. Wow. Yeah. I mean, I've gotten the impression that, there's no doubt he's very talented or was very talented, very talented, but also very, charismatic. He had a certain aura and charisma about him. So, who do you think is going to have the big charisma and all that stuff coming up here, this rainy day next weekend, next Saturday on the 29th? Any predictions? And if you don't mind, who do you think is going to get totally shit-faced and just pass out someplace or something?
I'll do my best to get Goldberg, shit faced to pass out somewhere along the way,
Goldberg. That's great.
Bill Gaither is always good for, a good show. And
Zarina.
I'd say she's always got her presence out there,
Right.
Between those two, it's kind of hard to beat. But, it's everybody there has kind of their own special, blend of talents, and, we'll make an afternoon of it. And then go somewhere and drink lots of beer and whiskey and whatnot.
See, it's always at these events, it's always about the after party, right? The pre-party and the after party. Of course, it is for me. I mean, yeah, I'm not going to lie.
Who cares about this?
Fucked up.
I mean, who cares about the reading? It's all about the, you know, it's all about the whiskey, you know? It's like, you know, it's like, if you can't have a few poetry grenades, why bother?
Right. All right, so we are going to take a quick break here, and Mr. Snowman, please stay on here and be a co-host with us as we're going to bring on Paris Jones, the rap artist and producer from Los Angeles, and with his new EP from February. All right, we're going to bring him on here, but we're going to take a really quick break here. In fact, we're going to play one of his songs here. We're going to play Say No Way. Here we go.
Say no way. Hey, we are going to bring on our next featured guest here, Mr. Paris Jones. And like I said, he is a, you know, rap artist and producer from Los Angeles. And his song, Okay, which we featured at the beginning, you know, okay. I mean, it's a beautiful music video, too. Well, you know, with no further ado, let's bring on Mr. Paris Jones. All right, here we go. And he's got some ambitious stuff going on here. It's going to be fun to pick his brain. All right. Paris Jones. Are you there?
Yeah. What's up? Yeah, I'm here.
Hey.
Oh, man.
Hey.
I was worried. I was like, nobody can hear me. I'm trying to talk. Okay. This is my first time on a blog talk. So, yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm here, though. What's up?
Yeah, no problem. Say no way, man. Say no way. No, and that's okay. That's okay. No, that music video, I mean, first of all, let's just, that music and that song, I mean, that's just, it's good. It's good. It's beautiful. I mean, wow. Holy crap. And not only that, I mean, this whole, like, this thing you have going on monthly, you're going to put out an EP once a month.
Yes.
You've got a January and a February, and, I'm more than intrigued. I want to hear all about this stuff. So, yes, here we go. Let's hear all from and if you don't mind me asking, Paris Jones. I mean, I know that's not, probably not your real name. A lot of artists and all that, they come up with names. And what inspired that name? If you don't mind me asking, just right off the bat, real quick, Paris Jones.
Well, people call me PJ a lot because. My father's name is Patrick, and I'm also named after him, so it was like they would just call me Patrick Jr. and PJ just for short.
Uh-huh.
But Paris Jones came from me visiting my best friend Malcolm when I was in L.A. one day, and his little cousin who was living with him at the time, they were calling him PJ. So I was, like, getting really confused every time they were screaming out PJ in the house. I'm like, who the heck are you talking to? So then I asked him, I was like, what is your name? He was like, my name is Paris. And I was like, oh, Paris. And at the time, I had already recorded an entire mixtape without a name. So, you know, I wouldn't say my name on my songs at all because I didn't have a name yet. And I called my manager up. I said, what do you think about Paris? He's like, what's the J going to stand for? And we went through all the the last names that you could possibly think of and what. And Paris Jones stuck with me because, in a way, it makes sense, you know. To when they say you have a Jones for something, it's like you have a desire. And, like, you know, to have a Jones for Paris is really to have a desire just to, you know, see more and do better, you know. Like, the same reason why Jay-Z and Kanye made Niggas in Paris, it's like, you know, Paris always represents, like, luxury and, like, the finer things. So I was like, you know, Paris Jones was cool, and that's how I was born. That's when I came into the world.
All right, well, okay, another question, you know. What is, you know, what was some of your early inspirations when you were younger? I mean, what, you know, was it certain musicians or writers or other artists? I mean, what initially inspired you? Like, yeah, this is something I want to do. This is something I want to pursue. I want to become, you know, rap artist, and I want to take on this ambitious EP once a month thing, which we will get to here. But, yeah, but what initially, when you were younger, inspired you?
Just music in general. I've been making music since I was, like, 6 years old. So it was all really just instrumental stuff, though. Like, I started playing, like, the congos when I was 6, started playing the drums when I was about 7, started DJing when I was 11 or 12. And,
really?
You know, yeah, I was very young. I got my first turntable set. I was 12 years old. And I was like in a about to be in the seventh grade. I was like in the sixth grade. So I've been doing the music thing for a minute. It was always just a part. It was like always a part of me. Like, it was basketball and music, you know.
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
If you don't mind me asking, how old are you? I mean, since you were 12, I mean, what area or what decade would that fall into? That's, I find kind of curious.
I was born in 1990. I'm 23 years old.
Oh, my God. You're young enough to be my son.
I'm pretty. You know, the way the game is now, these guys are so young, they make me feel old. Like, you know, Chance the Rapper is like 1920, Vic Mensa's 1920, Tyler the Creator's 20, Earl Sweatshirt's like 17 or 18 years old. I'm like, man, I'm old out here now.
You feel old? You're born in 19. Oh my goodness. All right. But yeah, well, that's awesome, man. 1990. Oh my goodness. And so, okay, so were there any like specific musicians you could name that inspired you?
In the house, I grew up listening to a lot of Roy Ayers. Parliament Funkadelic, I was big on that, you know, me and my father. He used to play that for me all the time. But, you know, just, you know, the real boom bap hip-hop, like I have every single hip-hop album you can think of. We have Wu-Tang, Into the 36 Chambers. We have Rakim, Follow the Leader. We have Public Enemy. We have EPMD. We have K-Solo. We got The Chronic on cassette. I'm talking about, I have all these on cassette tape, you know? So,
cassette tape. Oh, so you're,
songs,
yeah, so you're just, all right, just old enough to remember cassettes, huh?
Yeah.
Before
so,
they became,
you know,
extinct. Yeah. Oh, that's cool.
So, me and my father would, like, put on KRS-One. Like, I could, like, recite KRS-One.
KRS-One?
Like,
my God, KRS-One. KRS-One and Easy E, and oh my goodness, those.
Everybody.
I mean, I was in high school, like in the the 80s, and graduated. Like I graduated from high school the year you were born.
Wow.
So, yeah, that ages me just a little bit there, ladies and gentlemen. But I'm a huge fan of that whole like era and those musicians and all that, and that's cool that your dad inspired you and introduced you to that. I mean, is that pretty much what happened for you? I'll never forget. But go ahead.
Yeah, that's pretty much what he used to do when I was young. When I was a baby, I used to cry. Uh-huh. He used to put hip hop on to calm me down. Really. He'll put the headphones on me, and I just kind of, I would calm down, and just, I would be okay after that.
That's great. And he would put on cassette?
I remember he had the CD player, the Walkman CD player. I remember it like it was yesterday, because it was one of those ones when I got older, I still tried to use it, but it wasn't new, so it would skip, and I would get so angry, like, why does it skip? I hate it.
That's great. I still try to use Walkmans and all that, because, I'm still not all, like, hip with this digital, like, music and stuff and all that, but that's great. And what's funny, you mentioned that, is when I was a kid, I 8-tracks. I'm sure you've heard of 8-tracks.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I'm very familiar with the 8-tracks.
And it would be like disco music. We're talking Bee Gees, and, Gloria Gaynor, stuff like that. I'm old. But,
You like Eric Foreman back in the day?
Who?
You like Eric Foreman back in the day during the 70s?
Eric,
that was you?
Eric Foreman? I'm not familiar with Eric Foreman. What? I know
Eric
George
Foreman
is
a character from that
boxer.
70s show.
Oh, you mean Eric Foreman, that 70s show? Yeah, that's pretty much me. Star Wars geek.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, absolutely, man, absolutely. No, I find it fascinating, to hear people's inspiration, because it starts at a young age like that. The creative vibe and energy, and then you move forward from that, and then here you are. I mean, okay, so next let's talk about that music video, the music video, because it is freaking, it's one of the best I've seen in a long time. It is so good, and well shot.
I appreciate
and
it.
Everything else. Yeah, oh, yeah, and it's a good song, and it's a collaboration with you did with the, what's her name?
Angel Hayes?
Yes. Just beautiful. It's good. It's so good. So what was that experience like? How long did that whole shoot take and everything? If you don't mind asking,
That whole week was crazy.
A week? Oh, you did a whole week.
I'll never forget it. Because I know it was like, this is going to be a story here, because the day before, a lady that basically helped raise me, who was like my grandmother, passed away. She died of cancer.
Okay.
I'm running around. I'm up all night dealing with that. And then I have this shoot that's like 2 hours away. And I'm like, I got to do something. And at the time, I was working 9 to 5, so I'm taking 5-hour energies every day, so I'm really addicted to caffeine. And I just remember not having a 5-hour, like trying to go through with the shoot after dealing with the death of this lady, Mother Diane, and then not having a 5-hour energy, and I can't open my eyes because my caffeine headache is so bad because I ain't had no caffeine. So I'm trying to just deal with all that, and it's like you can see in the video how, like even one of my profile pictures is like me with my head down sitting on a box. Like, I'm like dead at that video. Like, I can't even open my eyes, really. Like, if you look in the video and look at my eyes are barely open for half the shots because I can't look into the light.
So you missed out on seeing those nice, beautiful titties that's in your own video?
Oh, yeah. You know, I'm about to be married, though, man. So that was definitely with a woman. You know how it is. With a woman at home and you tell her that you're doing a video shoot with half-naked girls,
yeah.
I was trying to keep it super overly professional. But I'm like, the last thing I need is for my woman to be insecure about this, you know?
Right.
You guys did a good job of keeping it very artistic. I really liked it.
Yeah, it's a beautiful video. It really is. It's sensual and it's well shot, and I like, you know, the black and white cinematography and all that. I'm a film geek, you know. I went to film school and all that good stuff. So, So I really appreciate, you know, that kind of stuff and all that. And I'm really fascinated by, you know, the whole aspect, you know, of the film shoot and hearing how, you know, or you know, when I talk to musicians like such as yourself about, you know, a video shoot, because I just want to hear what the experience is like. How big was the crew actually and everything for this?
The crew.
Uh huh.
If I remember straight, you have John Belozo who directed it. Basically, you got
job.
Two assistant directors, Matthew and another John Henry. And then I had like a bunch of my friends basically helping me with stuff. But it was like a way to plug them in with what they actually did. My sister, she does cosmetology, you know, hair license or whatever. So she did the hair, like for the dancers. And my homegirl Sabrina James, she has her cosmetology for like makeup. So I had her like spray them down and do the makeup so they can both build their portfolios. And my boy Jeff Watt, who I just happened to work with, I was like, can you buy lunch for everybody? And it's like, give you producer credit?
That's called,
so
called
he got
craft
producer
services.
Credit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, he got producer credit for buying
lunch? Yeah,
art?
So he's like, if you look on the credits, it says Jeff Watt, associate producer. And then you had the executive producers who are basically the CEOs who run Clement & Co., which is Kat and Sergio. And then, of course, the choreographer, his name is Anthony, and his dancers who are in the video. So,
wasn't that big
of a crew, man, I'm telling you. It wasn't that big. They really did a good job
of making it seem like
it was a big space and just, you know, taking advantage of everything. But they always did it game. They're the best, you know, film and art, you know, guys that I know. And that I know I've seen a lot of people try to take the artistic route with their videos, and it just sucks because they're not real artists. They're just Kanye West fans, and they just try to be artsy. So they're sitting in a bathtub with paint on their face, and like, this is art. And they're like standing on their head talking about how we see the world upside down, like. It's just you know, the whole art thing and everybody trying to ride Kanye's coattail, and you know, just with the whole art thing is like, golly, you guys just are terrible. This sucks. It's not art, man. Stop thinking so hard.
So you have for someone who's just born in 1990, I mean, you seem like you really have a good head on your shoulders, man. I mean, you have a good concept of what is art or whatnot. And, as far as, like, art is concerned and all that, I mean, is there, you know, any, like, directors or films or something like that that you can compare it to, you know, or other music videos that you find intriguing that you could compare this to, this whole experience and what, you know, that video, you know what I mean? I mean, it sounds like you really have, you know, a good idea of that that art form. I mean, because it's an art form. A music video, music is an art form,
yeah.
And then music videos, it's a combination of, you know, it's the. So I would you know, really intrigued to hear what you might have to say about that.
I think music videos is a lost art form. And also my music videos being so, I guess, professional, it kind of takes away, especially trying to break into the hip-hop crowd, it kind of takes away from the hype, per se, because it looks so professional that it doesn't look like anybody who's trying to come up, you know? And, you know, everybody wants to be the first person to say, I knew about him before so-and-so, before he blew up, you know? And with the videos, with my videos, looking at the way they do, it looks like I'm signed to, like, a label and stuff already, so. And then on top of that, it's just, like, if you don't enjoy cinematography and you don't enjoy film, you might not enjoy the video like that, you know? And it's like, I don't believe that.
I disagree with you there, because I think that video, a term I would use, polished, well polished. I mean, it looks great.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, if other people who are in the hip-hop scene or whatnot, they don't like it or they're going to criticize it or whatnot, it's because that it does look so well, you know, does look so good and well done, is what I'm saying. You know what I mean? You know, I would never, you know, if I was you, I would never feel bad or guilty for that, you know, and think that is a negative thing. But
I don't really look at it as a negative or positive. It's more or less just it is what it is. I can care less if they like it or not. You know what I'm saying? I like it. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
So.
It's like, well, you were saying, like, in the hip hop scene, though, it's probably, you know, just, I don't know, what they call them, haters.
Well, not necessarily. What it is really is just if it's dirtier looking, then we're going to embrace it more. If that makes sense.
Then define for me dirtier looking. I mean, what you mean? Just kind of
like
a rough.
It's like okay. If you look at Kanye West's first video, like Through the Wire.
Okay.
It was like literally like footage. It was like home footage of like, it was really underground looking. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
And like you don't get a polished video until after you have money already. But
right.
The thing that makes
okay.
people
yeah.
embrace you at first is the fact that you seem like. You're not so high up already. It's the fact that, like,
right.
oh yeah,
oh,
he's right
okay.
here. We expect
yeah.
him. We expect his videos to look like million-dollar videos after he blows up and gets money. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah, I get that. No, I get that. But you know, I mean,
it's like
it's
you
good,
know when the hype
music.
When the hype goes down. When the hype goes down. You see a lot of artists' hype go down after their stuff starts sounding better, after they get into better sounding studios and things like that. People really stop messing with them, or their buzz dies a little bit. You saw that with Wiz Khalifa when he had the opportunity after he blew up and he was huge for a second, and after he had more time in the studio, bigger producers, bigger production. People didn't like him as much. Same thing with, like, Tyler, the Creator. Like, when he made Bastard, you know, it wasn't, you know, studio mixed, and that's when the whole hype came, and then, you know, Goblin and everything after that.
Right.
You know, it started to shift because, you know, his mixes start to get better. You start to get better musically, and just there's a lot of things. And, like, I guess people liked the not as good sounding stuff or sonically as good sounding stuff. I don't know what it is. It's like even my first project, it's my worst project. But people gravitate to that one the most.
What is it? What, if you don't mind,
mind me asking. What do you consider? What was it?
When was my first project released?
No. I mean, you say, what is the piece that you think that is your worst, your very worst? What? Not your January, right? Not your January.
My first album back in 2009. It was Japan to Paris.
Okay. All right. See. All right. Well.
And people
right,
gravitate
then,
towards that the most. And the song yeah. that I made called Winter.
Uh-huh.
Like if you look up Winter on I don't know, look it up on YouTube or whatever. It's like almost like 200,000 views. You know.
Uh huh.
And it's like
wow.
none of my other videos are doing numbers like that.
Huh.
You know, and it's just a weird process. It's like the better you get better, your videos get better, everything gets better. But it's like people are like, it looks too polished.
Well,
you know?
I don't know. Well, you know, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what to say about it. But I think what you have going on here now is excellent, and I think a lot of other people
yeah.
do too. But,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
something from
good.
2009,
I think so.
Yeah, something from 2009, though, I mean, that's, maybe it has that many extra views just because of the time frame. But so moving forward here, I want to know, and I think a lot of other people do too, is what inspired you to do this whole monthly EP project for 2014? I mean, you already got January out and then February just released, and I'm sure March is pretty much in the works. I mean, March is almost over. But I want to hear about that.
Yeah,
how in the hell does anyone – I mean, that is very, very very tough thing to do. I mean, I don't know how you do it, and I want to know what inspired it and why. Yeah.
I'm going to say Pharrell Williams inspired it.
Oh yeah.
And this is why I say that. It's because Pharrell is awesome at music, but Pharrell
uh-huh.
to me seems like he just does stuff that's on a button. Like he makes a list. Like what can I do
uh-huh.
that when I get older, I can be like, yeah, I did that. It just seems like he's that type of guy. He's like, let me go over to Japan and do things with Bape. Let me go do, like, he's just so random. So I was like, you know what? I want to start making bucket list stuff. What would really make me proud when I'm older to achieve something would be to release an EP every month, because the last album I released, You're Invited,
uh-huh.
It took me 2 years to make that.
Wow, okay.
So I was like,
yeah.
Yeah, it would have been real. I just thought it would be really cool to freaking just release something every month. And a challenge, you know?
Well, that is one hell of a challenge, and it's like, it's not something I don't think, you know, anybody, you know, the average person or artist or whatever can achieve. Do you think, I mean, you're going to do it for the entire year of 2014 or what, or beyond, or what's your plan for that?
Well, it's really to lead up to the official album that comes out early next year.
Uh-huh.
So these albums are just preparations for what people are going to hear, the actual
uh-huh.
LP that's going to be released. And it's going to be a big release. It's going to be on vinyl. It's going to be on cassette tape.
Wow.
It's going to be on all formats. You're going to be able to get it.
Really?
So I'm doing a deal right now with an indie label here in the town of Lynchburg, where I live right now, and
uh-huh.
hopefully just dealing with the paperwork. Hopefully that goes through, and yeah, and you know, I'll be able to put that out under them for some distribution.
Yeah. Even vinyl, gosh, yeah, wow, vinyl. See, you were born in 1990. Vinyl was pretty much dead, but yeah, it's kind of had like a resurrection. I know. Here.
Yeah, it went up. The market went up by like 70% last year.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah. Hipsters, man.
Well, that's awesome. So, how's it been for you so far? I mean, how hard is it to do each of these little, you know, monthly EPs? I mean, January is done. February just came out.
your February 1, I mean, and March, when can we all expect your March edition?
March comes out on Monday, March 31st, the last day of March. So, yeah.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, basically 10 days to go.
Cool.
Oh, yeah,
so, right. And then, I mean, oh, gosh, I don't know. It just boggles my mind to think.
Yeah, it seems that way.
Have you already started working on April? I mean, the April edition?
No, I haven't.
No, you haven't.
No.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm still, I think I really want to make sure I get it done every month, but how lazy I think I've been, I really think one of these months is going to come back to bite me in the butt because I'm getting married in June. So,
oh boy, okay.
I'm gonna be doing like the honeymoon thing and all that stuff, and I know I'm not gonna have any time, so I should really be trying to make these, like, go ahead, you know what I'm saying? Try to, like, get to the next month so I can have a couple already ready to go. But I'm just like, yeah, I'm just going
right.
month by month, you know?
Well, I do know, and that's kind of another funny and kind of not so funny, but intriguing aspect of the whole dynamic. You said you were going to get married in June. What does your future wife think about your creative, endeavors and all that? Is she supportive or does she like, hey, yeah, I got to give him some time in the studio or whatever? I mean, what's that like?
She's very supportive. Like, she knows when she met me, like, that's what I was about, and.
Right.
She respects the vision because she understands that's why God put me here,
Uh-huh.
And it's like, she's willing to help me. She's gone through, like, great lengths and sacrificed a lot so I can do this. And now it's at a point to where music is coming so naturally. It used to be such a stressful thing dealing with the politics behind hip-hop and trying to get to this place, get on this blog, do an interview with this person. Go
uh-huh.
on, get a feature with this, all that stuff that, would take away and make it so hard for me to do music. But now I'm in a place where I can spend, she doesn't have to sacrifice that much time away from me,
uh-huh.
It's coming out of me so naturally that, I can do it and it not really affect the relationship too much.
Well, that's very good to hear. I mean, I find it. Well, yeah, I know it's hard being an artist of any, vision, a poet, cartoonist or, writer or anything. I mean, it's hard. You have to promote yourself and there's, all these social medias and everything like that. I mean,
mm-hmm.
Interviews, et cetera, And like you said, you mentioned just a second ago, politics, you said, politics behind it. Yeah, I can relate to that. I know there is in every respect regarding the arts and, promoting yourself and trying to move forward. There is politics. I mean, has that been, a positive, negative, influence on you as an artist? And what about social media? How much have you utilized social media to promote yourself?
Politics sucks the life out of hip hop. Politics sucks the life out of everything.
Right.
Because we don't want to see. I want to see an artist make up a campaign, but that's only just as a campaign. I mean, just a strategy to reach his audience or his demographic the best.
Right.
That's the only type of campaigning I want to see from an artist. I don't want to see the rest of, like, the campaign and, like, he's a freaking politician. I don't want to see lies. I don't want you to tell me what I want to hear. You know what I'm saying? I want you to
right.
be who you are. And I see a lot of that now. And it's the fact that people can buy their way into a top spot is very disheartening because a lot of the guys who've been in the game for a long time who have the most money stay in the top spots because they have the money to stay there. And
right.
by that,
okay.
I mean they can pay for the PR, they can pay for the press, they have
right.
a team. I'm saying all that stuff. Like, you know, the one thing my manager, my old manager told me, and he, you know, I met him at my interview with, you know, Jay-Z's label, Roc Nation, and
mm-hmm.
I met him there, and that's when he started managing me, is that the first thing he told me is, like, you got to pay to play. And I'm like, that's
wow.
that's really, that sucks. It's like, you know,
yeah,
that's why you see a lot of drug dealer rappers in the game, because, you know, they have some type of funding behind it. I think that's why. And
wow.
If you're not
if
you're not kissing somebody's ass,
uh-huh.
you know, then you're not gonna, you know, be where you wanna be, you know. But I don't, you know, where I'm at right now, I don't worry about that stuff. I didn't care less. Like, you know, I know the plan that God has for me. So
mm-hmm.
I'm gonna let him take care of all of that, and I'm just gonna keep working my, you know, working my behind off, so when the opportunity presents itself, I'm prepared, you know? So
right.
I do utilize social media. I utilize Instagram, you know? I'm trying to make, you know, my way, you know, to being, you know, a top guy on Instagram. I'm, like, at sitting at, I only follow two people, and I'm sitting at, like, almost 1,600 followers, which isn't awesome, but it's something. And Twitter, like, I'm sitting at, like, almost 8,000, you know, and
wow.
I try
yeah.
to make sure I network with on those platforms as much as I can with my fans
mm-hmm.
and, you know, things like that, you know, because, you know, people can't, you know, a movement can't be stopped if all the people are for it, you know. You
right.
can't stop what the people want. So it's just getting the exposure to
uh-huh.
get to those people is what it was, a struggle, but now that that's not the focus anymore, this seems to be coming a lot faster than they were when that's what I focused on. I guess it's like the theory of a watch pot never boils, you know?
Yeah.
Because now, like, they're pouring in, like, people are just loving, and they're getting, like, the music and stuff like that, and I'm not even searching for it, you know? I'm just putting it up because that's what I want to do, and this is what I'm doing right now is what I love to do, you know? And there's
right.
no, there's not too many, like, there's not really a vain end game with this. It's like just something that I just was like, yeah, that'll be cool to do. I'll probably tell my kids about that, and people enjoy it. So
that's great. Hey, yeah, I gotta ask you. Okay, so DJ Booth.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow you got yeah. What's your affiliation? And you know, I noticed your music is available on this, you know, the Booth thing. I've never really heard of that before. It's always been Dat Piff, or are you on Dat Piff at all, or?
Nah. I never did the Dat Piff thing. I won't tell you why, but because I don't want to, you know.
But you won't tell me why?
Negative.
Why not? No, it's okay. You can be negative if you want. I mean, it's all right. Just be honest, yeah. But,
yeah
I want to hear about
you. Know, I always thought Dat Piff was just too, you know, it was just too accessible for everybody.
Uh-huh.
So it's like, you tell somebody, I have my new album on Dat Piff, and they're like, who doesn't? You know? It's like, what is
uh-huh.
okay, cool. You know what I'm saying? It was one of those things for me. That's why I never really posted any music on there, but my fans upload my stuff on there all the time, you know? So, but DJ Booth, though, let me make sure I tweet him, let him know I'm talking about him. So,
let's hear about this whole
affiliation with DJ Booth. Okay, DJ Booth Z. I was in my interview. Listen here, I'm sorry. You know,
listen.
Just trying,
they
you
talk
know,
about social media. Here you go. You're live in an interview,
here,
and you're
already.
Yeah, exactly. See,
not
you
even
got it going.
Okay. Me and Z have been in contact
uh-huh.
for quite a while. What piqued his interest in me was the fact that the Angel Hayes record, okay, and this the album. He really liked the album that I released.
Right.
So, you know, he reached out. I reached out to him. Well, it was kind of like a mutual thing. I don't remember exactly how it happened, but I was like, you know, I want to release an EP every month. And he was like, yo, he's like, that's sick. I was like, yeah.
Sick,
sick, so,
is it like cool or like you're crazy? Because I think it's crazy.
I don't know. It might have been a little
awesome.
Bit of both. It might have been a little bit of both because he, I don't know. When I tell people that, they're like, how the heck are you going to do that? But he was all for it. And he was like, you know, he presented the opportunity. He was like, would you like us to, well, he said it like, you know, the professional. He's like, we would love to sponsor those albums, you know, for you. And I was like, you know, that sounds tight. So I was like, let's just do the first one. Did January.
Wow.
The response was huge, you know. Off the bat, and I was like, you know, this is sick. So we did February, an even bigger response from February, and now, you know, we're
March
working on March, and it's a beautiful partnership. DJ Booth has been breaking artists for a minute now. You know, they were like one of the people who were, you know, blogs that were instrumental in Kendrick Lamar's early stuff. You know, he would drop exclusives on DJ Booth back in the day when he was on his come up. So, you know, just thankful that, you know, Z, you know, reached out and, you know, he's pushing the culture forward, you know.
Okay, so Ashley Brown, didn't that have some ding, ding, ding? Does that ring a bell?
Yeah, of course
that?
It rings a bell. Ashley Brown is a girl who I went to high school with. She was like my best friend. Her name is Ryan Ashley Brown. She was just like a girl that was, she's really beautiful. We're still friends to this day, but it was just one of those things where it's like, you really talk to some crappy guys, and I can do a lot better than these guys. Like, you know, but I just, you know, I wasn't, you know, I was, like, really, really chubby in high school. So it was like, you know, I didn't get that shot. But it's cool. She's, you know, she's dating my cousin, as a matter of fact. So that's awesome.
She's dating your cousin now?
Yeah, which is
hilarious. Oh, that's got to sting a little bit. Come on, be honest.
Nah, it doesn't sting. You know what? It was, because when I made the song, I had already been with, like, my girl for, like, I don't know, like, 3 years. So I really didn't care no more. But I was like, at this point, there's nothing wrong with making a good song out of it. You know, might as well just go ahead and use that and just make something entertaining.
That is even more intriguing. Yeah, okay. So did your current girl know that it was, you know, had to do with an ex from your past? And was she cool with it? I mean,
she knew about it.
Okay.
Yeah, she knew about it. Like, she didn't, you know, I let her know. I was like, this is just basically one of those songs where I'm just telling something about my past. It doesn't really have to do with nothing now. I just want to make songs that people can relate to, you know, and that's something that every guy can relate to being put in the friend zone at least by one girl in his life. So, yeah, she wasn't tripping.
She wasn't tripping. Oh, my God. I haven't heard that term since I was, like, 18 years old back in 1990. See, there we go. Yeah, wow, man. You are just, this has been great. I mean, you just are upfront and, I mean, telling it like it is. And, you know, that's the way it should be, and I like it. So exactly when do you think we can expect the March edition?
March 31st, Monday, March 31st.
For sure. Definitely,
yes.
Okay.
And it's all samples from Janelle Monae.
Oh, yeah? Are you stressing
at
all about it? Yeah.
No. I'm not stressed. it'll be okay, you know.
Yeah. See, I don't know how you do it. I mean, that's just... Well, and, you know... you're a producer too, right? What do you produce?
Yeah. I produce all my songs. Like most of these songs that come out have been like instrumentals anyway. So,
uh-huh. Right.
You know, it's one of those things where it's like I've never done good with taking other people's beats and rapping on them. So I just make my own.
Right. All right. Okay. So by producer, I mean I've heard other people call themselves like you got producers and you other people call themselves engineers. So is that kind of what, you know, a combination, you know, you engineer your songs, you produce, et cetera?
Yeah, I do both.
I mean, what? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I engineer my music I produce it too. I don't go to a sound engineer.
And what's that like for you, the whole technical aspect of it? I mean, I find that fascinating too. I mean,
it's damaging on the ears, man. You spend hours and hours and hours trying to get stuff right. You freaking go deaf, basically, sometimes.
Really? And what's the setup like for you? I mean, you know, you have all those little sliders that everyone imagines, you know, and stuff.
Oh, no, everything is like that. The soundboard and everything, they've all been digitally, you know, put into, like, you know, programs now, so we don't have to have the big boards and stuff like we used to.
Oh, okay. All right. So
it's
much
way better.
Okay. See, that shows your age. You're more technologically inclined.
It's technology savvy.
My age. Yes, technology savvy. Savvy. There you go. See, you're smart, man. You are sharp as hell. I shit you not. And I'm very impressed. I'm very impressed with the what you have going on and your sound and everything, and just you're so smart and articulate, man. Just good stuff.
I appreciate it. Yeah,
that
would be one of my things on my bucket list is to have a PhD in the next couple of years. So,
really?
I just got to figure out what it's going to be in.
Oh, you're definitely smart enough for that. I mean, PhD, I could see that for sure. So, all the listeners out there and everything, is there, you know, a website or anything that you want to promote and let people know how can people find out more about you and your, you know, your music and everything else?
What I'm doing now, I would say everybody just go to djbooth.net and search Paris Jones.
Uh-huh.
You know, I'm going to be doing a lot of revamping of my personal website and things like that. Because right now it's iamparisjones.com, but I want to change it to what my Twitter handle is, prsjon.com, or the name of my company, which is changeculturehighart.com. So I got to figure out which one we're going to do. So I'm just going to direct everybody to djbooth.net because that's where you can find what I've been doing lately. So.
All right. Excellent, man. Excellent. So, and you got this big wedding coming up here soon in June. I mean, if you don't mind me asking, how much planning has gone into that? Is it going to be a big wedding or is it going to be one of those, like, you know, shotgun weddings? What's going
Not
on
a
that?
Shotgun wedding. A lot of planning going into it. Since it's going to be in Virginia, I don't know how many of my people are going to be able to come.
Uh-huh.
I'm not in a place financially where I can just be like, you know, I'm Jay-Z. Everybody's flying out. First class, baby, champagne on the plane. Like, I'm not at that point.
Right.
Not even close, not even like a fraction close.
Right.
So I'm not sure how many of my people are going to come. You know, her people from New Jersey, it's like a 7-8 hour drive, so that's not bad for them. So it'll be pretty big. You know, I know it's going to be at least 150 people.
Are you shitting me? Wow. I mean, that's huge to me. 150 people. Because, I just had one of those weddings myself personally
just, you know, justice of the peace. It was just my wife and I and some strangers.
Oh, that's beautiful.
It's like,
no, that's great though. That's great. You know, no, different strokes for different folks, man. It's just
right,
about
right.
You did it and you made that commitment, man. It doesn't, you know,
right.
The wedding.
Yeah,
the wedding
exactly.
To me doesn't matter as much as all the days after the wedding. You know what I'm saying? I think especially in our culture, we have like over 50% divorce rate in America, and people drop thousands and thousands of dollars on their wedding. Just for a day,
and
drop thousands of dollars on your wedding for a day, and you don't stay together for a month. Like, what the
right.
heck is that? That's not good business.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's crazy, man. It's crazy, and it's true. You're right. You're so knowledgeable. You're so smart for your age, man. I shit you not. I really, I'm impressed. so hey,
appreciate it.
No, I appreciate being on here and being so upfront and honest and just telling it like it is, man. I mean, you know, I don't get that very often here on the show, but yeah, you really have. You stepped up and hey, but how about we play another one of your songs here and then say goodnight here. How about we play Big Timers Come Back? Is that cool?
Let's see. Let me, what's my favorite?
Still Fly. Big Timers Come Back. Still Fly.
That's,
is that cool?
Okay. Let me see if there's another one I would want you to play. I need to go to
well,
it. Let me go to it.
That's the only one I have on file here that I can play.
Okay. You don't have a whole EP?
I have the whole EP, but I don't have it uploaded for the show, but.
Oh, no, no, Big
Time's
come back. Yeah, go ahead.
All right.
Here we go. Fresh is our turn, baby.
Looking at my music, it's about that time.
Big Thomas. All right,
yeah.
Man. This has been great. And you know what? We have to have you on again sometime soon, you know, and talk about your, you know, April EP, your May,
mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, and you know, here's something else I want to ask you. Performing, have you performed live in front of an audience? I mean,
Yeah, I'm actually going to have
yeah.
some live footage of the show that I did at a record shop called Speaker Tree, because I'm trying to
uh-huh.
do a record shop tour where I just go, you know, I guess across America just to, like, the local record shops there in town where I have fans, and they just come and party with me and I perform. We're going to
really?
Be promoting that within, yeah, we're going to be promoting that within the next couple of months here. And we're going to
uh-huh.
try to make it happen. And of course, you got to deal with funding, insurance, and all that type of stuff. But we're definitely trying to make it happen. And I love performing and doing all that because me and my brother, you know, we have a lot of fun on stage.
And what's it like for you to perform live in front of, you know, I mean, is it nerve-wracking at all? Or is it, what's it feel like? I mean, it's really different from being, you know, in the studio.
Obviously. Yeah, definitely. I'm a little bit of a, I guess I'm kind of hard on my brother and, you know, my fiance, which is one of my backup singers. And my brother's girlfriend. My brother's girlfriend is another one of my backup singers. So it's basically just them three, you know, and I. And I'm really hard if I feel like stuff is not going the way I want it to, but it's like I don't have too much problems with them talent-wise. It's more or less like them having confidence sometimes. Sometimes I get upset, like, if my fiancé or his girlfriend are, like, not singing confidently, I'm like, yo, sing the song. I will get mad, like, sing it like you mean it, you know. For the most part, you know, I don't worry too much about performing. All I worry about is just if people are going to have a good time or not, because I think from my dad bringing me up on hip-hop so much, I can memorize lyrics. So I'm not really worried about, like, lyrics and stuff like that, because that's just, it's what I do naturally. Yeah. I just want people to have a good time. That's the only thing that nerve-wracks me. Like, I have bad anxiety after my shows when I critique, like, what I might have said on stage and how people can interpret what I said. Like, stuff like that, I get sick to my stomach. I get sick for a couple of days. But, I'll learn to get over that.
Yeah, I can relate to that. You are a sharp man. You're going to go far. You really are. I can totally relate to that, you know, performing live and, you know, getting the anxiety aftereffect. You get up there, you just say stuff, you're just kind of in the zone, right? You're in the zone.
Yeah.
You're on stage, and there's people there, a whole bunch of people, and you just want them to have fun and all that. And then, like, aftereffect, you're like, holy shit, what did I say?
I can't
remember, you know, it's like, did I say this? Did I do this? And man, was that right? Was that appropriate? I can totally relate.
Yeah,
that's
that's exactly what it is. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. When you get in that zone, you get up there and you're just like having fun. You're kind of getting like a natural high from it. And then after the fact, you're like, did I say this? Did I do that? Yeah. That's great. That's great.
Yeah.
All right, man. Well, hey, we have to stay in touch. And, I'm definitely a fan. I mean, no doubt about it. I'm a huge fan, and at this point, and you're sharp as hell. And I don't say that too often, man. No, I'm being honest. I don't say that too often, and hope I haven't kept you up too late here tonight. I know it's going on 2 a.m. here in the EST, Eastern Standard Time, and
Yeah, it's all good. I'm a machine. This is what I'm supposed to do. You know, I thank you for giving me the opportunity to spread the word about my music more. You know what I'm saying? This is a mutual game here. You know, and I really appreciate you. You know, to give me an opportunity.
Yeah, and it's been fun. You've been fun. You've been a great guest. Very, very sharp, man, and great sound and music videos, everything. You have a bright future for sure, man. And like I said, I'm a fan for sure, and I think a lot of other people are going to discover you just through this. I mean, just it's the way to do it. You're doing a great job, and it's been fun to have you on. Like I said, going to have you on again sometime for damn sure.
Oh, yeah, just let me know. I'm with it.
Yeah. And hey, good luck with the, impending wedding here coming up.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just...
Thanks, yo.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's a big deal, man. It's a big deal. And, any co-hosts there, Snellman and Kaczynski, any last questions for our guests before we let them go?
No, I think you covered most of it, man. You got it all now, man.
Snellman, cool. You there still? Mr. Ryan Snellman?
I think I am.
You think you are?
Yeah, we're here now.
Ryan Snellman was our other guest here tonight. He's hosting a big poetry event coming up here in Seattle.
Oh, that's sick.
Yeah, so Seattle, yeah. So that's all right, man. Well, thank you so much. And
all right, much love to all you guys.
Yeah, much love to you, man, too. And like I said, congratulations on the upcoming wedding, and, you know, best of luck with this whole, like, monthly EP release thing. I mean, that's intriguing. I'm going to be following that, and I might call you out, like, man, I'll be like,
man, where's April? Where's May? You know? I know you're getting married, but damn it, put it out. Put the next month out.
Yeah, my number's on Twitter. Just text me. I'll make sure. Because you might be the person to remind me, actually. Because I'll be around doing something weird, and I'll be like, oh, shoot, I got to put the EP out. So.
That's right. We'll be riding your ass, man. All right. Thanks so much, man. Thanks so much.
All right, you guys have a good night.
You too, and best of luck to you. Thanks.
All right, you too, man. Bye.
All righty. So here we are in the last few minutes of our...
I still, man, an EP every single month.
Yeah, it just seems like... And it's like the next one's coming out in just a few days. It's like, Jesus Christ, you know, I'm already behind on Zygote and my coffee. Online.
Yeah, when is that? When is
Zygote? It was supposed to be out today, and wow. Total fail.
Supposed to be, right.
It will be. Just give me a few days, guys. God damn it. Jesus. Wow.
Weekend.
I can't believe this.
No rest
this kid.
For the weary.
I can't believe this kid was just born in 1990. He was so smart. I mean, he was sharp as hell. Are you really, I mean, Lord. God, I wish I had my shit together at that age. I still don't have my shit together, but. But anyhow.
Yeah.
1990, he was born. I mean, Lord.
I know, I'm sitting here thinking, wow.
Well, let's see.
You know, but that's cool, though. Even though he's born in 1990, he's still going to put his album out on cassette and vinyl. And
well, I know. So. Yeah. Yeah, not many kids his age even remember that, you know.
I can understand the vinyl this day and age because vinyl is kind of retro cool, but cassette?
I mean, come on.
Cassette's coming back, you might as well put it out
on 8-track.
I would rather have an 8-track than a cassette. I'll never forget my parents having 8-track.
I mean, at least 8-tracks have some kind of cachet. You know, you got to find the dashboard of like a 78 Chevy pickup to get your old 8-track out of. But, you know, at least it was there at some point in time. I mean, cassettes were ubiquitous.
My parents had, what was it? It was probably like a 77, 78 Hornet, I think, that had an 8-track.
Ooh.
I shit you not. It was beautiful. I'll never forget it. Then we had an 8-track player in our house, and you know, we had, the Bee Gees, we had freaking Saturday Night Fever soundtrack, Grease soundtrack.
ABBA.
Dancing Queen. Yes, I'm one of those old fuckers who, yeah. The 8-track. You know, yeah. Before the cassette, even. Wow, yeah. So, yeah, and records, of course. I mean, we had tons of records, but, yeah, I have fond memories of the good old 8-track.
I mean, at least my parents had the decency to keep their 70s collection, you know, to country music, you know. So, you know, we had, you know, Waylon Jennings and, you know, none of this ABBA crap.
Really? Okay.
Yeah,
wait,
Waylon, now you're talking. Johnny Cash, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson.
Well, yeah, I like them all, too. You know, Kris Kristofferson and Waylon Jennings and all that. You know, yeah, Johnny Cash, I'm a huge fan still. I mean, there's no denying Johnny Cash, you know, especially his remake of Hurt. that whole album he did right before he passed away. I mean, literally, he just finished it like months before he passed away. I'm a huge fan of Johnny Cash.
Good version of Rusty Cage.
I'm
ready.
So, Snowman, do you have any plans for baseball stadiums and all that good stuff here this season coming up?
Oh, let's see.
It's just a couple of days away. I mean, do you have any, like, pre-plans, you know, to go to any stadiums or
right now I'm at 16 and a half stadiums, and the half is Minneapolis because it was like a really freaking rainy game that got called last year. So I was there for a game, but I didn't get to see the whole game, so it counts as a half. So on May 2nd this year, I'm going to fly to Minneapolis and, you know, make that 17. There'll be a Friday, I take off of work, I go get on an airplane, and then the next day I get on an airplane and come back home. But then later this year, I'm actually going to go to New York and see the Yankees-Red Sox game and a Mets game, and then go up to Boston and see a game in that big bad ballpark they have there in Boston. So that'll get me up to 20 stadiums this year.
Damn. Okay.
Impressive.
That is impressive. And do you by any chance collect baseball cards?
I put my whole collection.
Any memorabilia? I mean, you go to all these, you know, stadiums. I mean, do you have any memorabilia or anything like that?
I'm as far as baseball, I'm kind of the anti-memorabilia. Except when I was in Chicago at Wrigley Field, I did buy a Cubs hat because that was my one thing.
Okay. Where is that Cubs hat now? What do you think?
Toilet paper or what?
Well, actually, I'm wearing it right now, so it's, you know, but it's the old school Cubs. There's like there was like 2 years or 3 years way back in the day where they actually had this little bear as their mascot, for whatever reason. So it was like, and that's like what
the bears were your thing.
But so it's a very specific design, and it's like I had to get one thing from really, you know, from, you know, going to that stadium, you know, it's
right. Well, that's kind of legendary. Have you been to the White Sox stadium, funny too?
Well, yeah, when I was in Chicago last year, I went to both stadiums.
Oh, you did? Okay.
So,
which game do you like better?
You gotta like Wrigley. I mean, it's
right.
It's, I mean,
legendary.
It's legendary. It's the old school, old stadium.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, you cannot not love the stadium. There's beer vendors that they're tripping over each other to sell you beer. The beer vendors were tripping over themselves. You know, it's like there's like you couldn't go more than 5 minutes without a beer vendor, you know, trying to hawk you a beer.
All right. Well, hey, we're right up at the end here of the show. I guess we will close out. It's been fun. It's been great.
Good.
I'd like to thank everyone for being on. Yeah, it was great. I mean, wow. I'm blown away by this Paris Jones kid. I mean, and literally, to me, he's a kid. Born in 1990, that's a kid to me. and
sure.
So smart, so talented. And Mr. Snellman, thank you so much for being on, buddy. And
talking about
you know, your rainy day coming up here. And best of luck with that. And Mr. Gosinski, of course, thanks for being on, man. I can't do the show without you. And Brian Sturdivant, who had to leave a little bit earlier. You know, thank you guys. Been fun, been great, and we're gonna close it out with a little toilet flush. Good night,
mm-hmm.
Everybody.
Woo-hoo.
Bye.